You might recall I mentioned previously that this little book is constructed according to the Hebrew alphabet, 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet, and each of the other chapters are aligned in 22 verses. The sections being each beginning, the lines each beginning with that particular letter. And in chapter 3, it goes much longer, but it is a multiple of 22, and these come in sections. So the verses that we have marked 22 to 24 all begin with the eighth letter of the alphabet. And so they are intended to be grouped together, although there are clear connections between this little section and the one before and the one after, or the ones after as well. So that just by the way of the construction of the chapter. My last sermon in Lamentations I titled, "Will the Lord Relent?" Because that was essentially the question that was running through Jeremiah's mind as he addressed the Lord in that section. Will the Lord relent? Jeremiah was clearly testified in that chapter 2, that he understood that it was the Lord who was the one who had brought disaster and suffering on the people of Israel. Jeremiah lived and ministered around the time of the destruction of Jerusalem by the Babylonians, and it was clearly a devastating scene, not only devastating physically, but as he received it himself, it was devastating to his own soul. But he bore testimony there. He saw and recognized that the Lord is sovereign. It is the Lord who does this work. The circumstances that he saw all around him, which clearly troubled not only him but many others, those circumstances were God's will. They were according to God's purposes. It was, therefore, as Jeremiah said, what the Lord had done. That's reason enough, as I'm sure you're well aware, for many people, sophisticated people, so-called, over the years, and especially today, to look at something like that and say, well, if God is in control, if this is God's purpose and there's such destruction, and the picture that he's talking about children, for example, who are weeping in the streets because they have nothing and they have no one. And many will turn to that and say, well, I can't believe in such a God. But you carry on, you have to read on, and you come to chapter 3 where the prophet raises another point. It seems that he is saying, I see God as the one who is over all of that. God is doing that work of destruction. There are reasons for it that he gives in this passage. But he goes on to say, if I don't also see him as the God of mercy, what hope is there? I still see him. Though I see him as the one who administers this destruction for the reasons, If I see him that way, let me also see that he is the God of mercy, and then I have hope. If I only go so far, if I only take that first part of the picture, there is no hope. But you look at these verses, and just some of the ones that we read. In verse 21, he talks about hope. I have hope. Verse 24, I hope in him. Verse 26, it is good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. And again in verse 29, there may yet be hope. It is because in the heart of this he tells of the Lord as the God of mercy. So, in other words, while everything around him is crumbling and it's appalling and it's shutting down and it's damaged and people are damaged and hurting, while all that is going on around him, to be seen, to be heard, to be touched, he knows and he tells us that there is more to it than meets the eye. And we need to hear that. We live in a day of experience. You young folk, that's what people will tell you. What matters is what you can hold, what you can touch, what occupies your senses. But Jeremiah tells us there's more to it than that. It's not just what you see or hear or touch. And that's why, as I said at the beginning, as I opened up to look into Lamentations, that's why I said it contains a gem. I don't know if you've seen those pictures from time to time of some of the mining that goes on in parts of Africa for the very precious metals and diamonds and so on. It's atrocious conditions that they live in. And you think they're going through all that, digging through the mud and the rock and so on, for the precious stone. And it's considered to be worth it. That they'll find something rich, and one day perhaps something that will break the bank, and they've got everything they need. Well, we don't have to go through all that to find the precious truth. In the middle of something that at first glance looks very dark around it in Lamentations, there is this gem. But Jeremiah says, I remember. So he's reminding us to say, it's not just here in the middle of the darkness. It's been here. This gem has been here. It's been present. It's been on display repeatedly through the history of God's people, repeatedly back to the very beginning. But he brings it forward here. He remembers in order to give him hope in the middle of the present darkness. That mercy, that gem is the mercy of God. He knows that through everything that has been going on, the work of the Lord, as well as the work and the deeds of the people, in the middle of all that, it has to be God's mercy. That he, Jeremiah, that God's people must rely on. To rely on God's mercy. Think about it. Think about the disaster that had come upon Israel. And there were all kinds of solutions being offered at the time. If you go back into Jeremiah, if you go back into the books of Kings and so on. All kinds of attempts that were being made to resolve the problem. But here Jeremiah says, put that to one side. Come to God's mercy. Concentrate on this first. Put this very first. Then you are on far more solid ground than anything we might do or any attempt to come and to earn God's rescue for his blessings. If that's what the way that we were to come to God, to say, Lord, we are your people. God would be right to say, as Jeremiah puts it in verse 40 through to 42, let us search out and examine our ways and turn back to the Lord. What does that tell you? It tells you that they'd gone away from the Lord. Turn back to the Lord. Let us lift our hearts and hands to God in heaven. We've been turning our hearts and hands somewhere else. And it's wrapped up in verse 42. We have transgressed and rebelled. You could insert here, therefore you have not pardoned. That's what we bring to God. That's no ground for God to show goodness towards us and to bless us. And so Jeremiah focuses in the middle of all of this. He turns to the Lord and his mercies. Verse 21. This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. What does he call to mind? Verse 22. Through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed. The Lord's mercies, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. It's this Lord who is constant in mercy, unfailing compassions, daily mercy, every morning, new mercy. faithful mercy. Great is your faithfulness. Unimpeachable. Not a fault in it. And it's this very Lord who says in verse 24, who is my portion. Therefore, I hope in him. It's the Lord, covenant God, the only one who is great in faithfulness because he is great. It's the Almighty, it's the one who has come, who walks with his people. It's that covenant name that we have running right through this, the Lord. Walks with his people, in relationship with them. Jeremiah says, you are trustworthy. You have not failed. You have given us help. You have given us safety. Many a year until now. So now we're in disaster. I will continue to rely on your mercy. If we read on, we see he knows well as anybody, that the outworking of that mercy might not be immediate. But he is assured, he's certain, and he tells us and assures us that if the Lord has promised salvation, it will come. I take you to the next section, verses 25 and 26. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. He is good. Not he may be, but he is good. And therefore it is good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord in the Lord's time. And he says this with the confidence of verse 31, for the Lord will not cast off forever. Though he causes grief, that's the current situation, though he causes grief, yet the time will come when he will show compassion, verse 32. And it's not just a cheap compassion, it's not just a stinting compassion, but it's according to the multitude of his mercies. Mercy, the mercy of God, must be our hope. The mercy is that which is doesn't depend in the least upon you or me, but only upon the God who is faithful and keeps his every word. And is constant and unchanging. If he has shown mercy once, and he did to his people then, he will continue to show the same multitude of mercies. But there is something else that has a bearing on this that Jeremiah deals with. In all those objections against God that many people raise these days, well, if God this, then I don't want him. And it's been going around the news again, somebody else came out with something similar to that just the other day. So God appears in discussion boards all over again, newspapers and so on. So there are many raise objections to God. He doesn't fit what man wants. But in all of those, there is something that seems too easily forgotten, that Jeremiah remembers it and he lays it before us. In verse 33 he says, he does not afflict willingly. Elsewhere we read that God says, I don't delight in the death of the wicked. What he wants is for men to turn to him. He does not afflict willingly, nor grieve the children of men willingly. Why then has all this disaster come on the people? Why is there such trouble in the world? Verses 34 to 36. This is a presentation of the things that man does. Verse 36 says, those things the Lord does not approve. Remember who you are. Remember what you've done. Jeremiah says to mankind. And the conclusion, the response to that then, we might take verse 39. Why should a living man complain? Why should a man complain for the punishment of his sins? Jeremiah recognized, we have seen that already in the earlier chapters, he recognized that what had come upon Jerusalem and upon Israel was a result of their sins. God had to do this because that's what he had promised would come if the people turned away from him. In all the objections that are raised against God, why should a living man complain for the punishment of his sins? And it's from there that he goes into verses 40 to 42. Let us search out and examine our ways. Man passes judgment on God and will not move from his place. But Jeremiah says, let us search out and examine our ways and turn back to the Lord. Not that the Lord would conform to my image of him. It's not that the Lord, not the Lord who is in the wrong. Not the Lord who is in the wrong in the destruction that he brought on his people and the pain that many do suffer in this world. He is not in the wrong. But what happens in many a human relationship where there's a breakdown of that relationship and there's one who says, I'm not wrong, I'm not in the wrong in this. What will they do? Usually nothing. Usually the one who believes they're not in the wrong, they will stand where they are until the other one comes and confesses that they have done wrong. What does God do? He is not in the wrong in this. What does he do? He goes out of his way. He approaches us. How do I know that? I know it above all because he has come in the person of his Son, the Lord Jesus. He has come to us. Our lives warrant that he should walk away from us. But he comes to us. He goes the other way. And he goes far beyond all that that might involve. Yet that should be entirely expected. According to Jeremiah, he remembers, he recalls to mind, this is predictable. This is who God is. This is what God does. This is what he is like. This is what he does. He does show mercy. He does mercy. He does compassion. That's the very character of God. God is love. The trouble that there is in this world is much less than it could be, either in degree or duration. If we were left to ourselves, the destruction would be far, far worse. The devastation, the pain, the suffering. But it's not, because every day the Lord is merciful. His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Every day is sustained by the Lord of mercy. Every day the Lord continues to act to prevent evil from running free. Through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because we would be consumed. We would be burnt up if he was not intervening daily in his great mercy, the multitude of his mercies. To the church, as sampled by the church in Ephesus, Paul wrote of how they once were when they did not trust in Christ Jesus, and he described them as those having no hope and without God in the world. It's a very bleak picture. Jeremiah had a flavour of that and the awfulness surrounding him. But yet he had hope. And so should we. What is it that explains the world? What is it that explains how the world goes on each day? And it is certainly not mankind's good management. Many people would look at this and they would say, well, that's so many years ago. Jeremiah was just one of those naive ancients, too simple to know. He wasn't like that at all. He was well aware of the the character of man above all. And through it all, he tells us that there is every reason to hope. He reminds us it's not for us to demand how that hope works out. It's not for us to demand the timetable for God's work of salvation. He reminds us that it's for us to wait. But to wait with hope, and a certain hope, this will come. He didn't have much else. And there may be times in your life, in my life, when we feel that there's not a lot that we're sure of in life. Actually, that's a good place to be on occasion. Jeremiah, I think, in this passage reminds us that we are better off without other things that we think we're sure of. There's a much better place to be, as he puts it in verse 24, "The Lord is my portion, says my soul." That's enough. That this Lord who is constant, this Lord who is faithful, this Lord who is rich in mercy, that's a better place to be. And to be brought to that place, perhaps there were times he might have looked back on the days of relative prosperity and thought to himself, well, yes, I was doing quite comfortably then. This is tough. But it's a better place because I've been reminded I have one who is sure, and I can hope in him. The best place of all for us to be in life is to have our hope in the Lord and in him only. Because he is the one, the only one, who is unfailing in compassion, who is dependable, who is trustworthy, who is great in faithfulness. A faithfulness beyond measure. I keep coming back here. Where else can we go? But he has said, and will he not do it? It's good for us to query, to examine our ways. And particularly, it may not be quite in the same sense that he has it in verse 40, but particularly to ask ourselves, what do circumstances do to our hearts and in our hearts? What about the changing events of each day? The changing behavior of people around us? People who are close to us, regular with us, maybe casual contacts. What do we do with the changing state of our own minds and hearts? Ask ourselves how much we depend on the things that we do, see or hear or touch. And when they go wrong, or when they go right, how do we respond? How much do I depend on these things going the ways that I want them to be, that match my preferences? Pause for a moment. Don't your preferences change as well? How irregular, how unstable these things are. Instead, well, remember, as he puts it in verse 38, "Is it not from the mouth of the Most High that woe and well-being proceed?" Behind everything is the Lord. And Abraham said in Genesis, he was talking about the Lord going to Sodom and Gomorrah. And he asked, or he maintained, he said, "Shall not the judge of all the earth do right?" The Lord is behind all these things. And the Lord is the one who is completely trustworthy, great in faithfulness. And he is the Lord of mercy. You might say, if we are to have any possibilities at all, the human race, he has to be a Lord of mercy, or we would be consumed. And so, in the middle of very dark days, Jeremiah was a man who has hope, had hope. And we have these words in front of us for us also to think on and to take hold of, to be trained by, to embed in our minds, in our thoughts, in our hearts, so that in one sense, in all the ups and downs, whether it be the stock exchange on the graphs or health or any of these things, the favor of friends in the playground or otherwise, that there's a constant as we walk with our God. And that where things are bright in circumstance, but that's not our hope. Where things are dark in our circumstance, that's not our despair. But that our hope is in Him, the great Lord of mercy. I will just go so far this evening. Pray that God will bless His word to us once more this evening.